Today on Real Radio.
A father's going to love a daughter differently than the mother, but she needs that love. She's got to have that love. And in fact, if she doesn't get that kind of love, she will early on, in a promiscuous setting, go seek that approval and that love in the arms of young boys or young men.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues his topical series on the Ten Commandments. We're taking a look at commandment number 5 today, the first in the so-called horizontal commandments, those that address our dealings with one another. And we're commanded to honor our father and mother. Pastor Jack's lesson today is also an exploration into what happens when we break this commandment. And with our lesson today, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Fathers, the Bible tells us, dads and kids, listen up, that your father is not to provoke you to wrath. The word means that you're not to tease and taunt and frustrate your child. It's a double-edged blade on this in the sense that we're commanded as children to honor our father. But at the same time, I believe the Bible teaches that as a father, we need to be honorable before our kids. It's interesting that God has placed the role of the father upon a man, and a man loves very differently. Boy, you need to hear this. Some of you who are older might say, well, what a stupid thing to say. Hey, listen, our generation, I mean, our culture is confused on this. God has specifically engineered a man to love differently than a woman loves and differently than a mom loves. A man loves differently than a woman, and a dad loves different than a mom. Who made that up? God did. This baloney that you're being told in our culture, that there's very little, if no, difference between men and women. Look, I don't know what kind of loony wrote that down and who's propagating that stuff. But that's really sick. First of all, it insults the design of God. And second of all, it does not celebrate the diversity of what God has done. But a mother, for example, we'll see in a moment when we get to the mother part, a mother's very nurturing by design. A father is not nurturing like that. He's nurturing in a different way. When a child is running and falls down, the father says, you're all right, you're going to live. You're okay. That's all right, you're okay. Look at there. See that? The mother runs. Oh, oh, oh. She's almost dialing 911. That is a family, man. That's how it works. And all these diversities, that's a great thing. But a father loves differently. And listen, when a father loves a son or a daughter, it is in a sense that to communicate it, it would be more of a hands-on way in the sense that, hey, come here. Let me help you out here. You see this? I remember my dad doing this to me. When you mow the lawn, in Orange County, my parents' home, they won awards for their house in the landscaping. I'm not kidding. The day that my dad said, you're mowing the lawn, you have to understand something. When he said, you get to mow the lawn, it was like the rite of passage. I became a man that day. Because nobody touched my dad's lawnmower and nobody stepped on his lawn. And he said, you get that thing, okay, you get ready, and don't look at the wheel, don't look at the grass. You look at that point. You see that point across the yard? You see that little thing? That thing right over there. That's where I look. And you just look at that point right there. By the way, you can try this at home, it works. And you start that mower and you go, you never look down, you look at that point, and guess what? You will mow a perfectly straight lawn. Now, see, all the guys can say amen to that. The women are going, what's he talking about? We love differently. You don't understand. When a dad gets you out there and says, listen, you mow that thing straight. Don't you, just keep your eyes straight ahead. Do you understand that? When a guy hears that, it's like, he loves me. He loves me. And if you get a little crooked, he grabs you by the shirt. Listen, I said do this part. And you go, yeah! That's how guys are wired. I remember my coach, he was from Texas, and he grabbed me by the face mask one day in football. He said, didn't I tell you that? I was counting on you to do this. And he chewed tobacco, and he was just, and he's spitting all in my face. And you say, yeah, you go, oh, that's horrible. Hey, let me tell you something. I knew that guy loved me. That's, listen, when men are together, when you throw the football, you make a touchdown. How do guys communicate love and acceptance? Right? Hey, good job. Watch the sports game. Hey, good job. That means everything. I'm dead serious. The communication's different. Fathers, we are to be with our kids. We're to spend time with our kids. And dads, regarding your son, change the oil in the car. Get him dirty. Roll him around if you have to. Drag him through the mud. Get the boy dirty. Okay, and your daughter, listen, you take her on a date. You help her by opening the door for her, and you treat her like a lady. Let them know the difference. It's amazing what happens. And we need to do that. I was at William and Mary. That's a university on the East Coast. And the football coach had said previously on a ESPN channel or something like that regarding William and Mary, they stink at football. And the coach said, our problem here at this school is that we have too many Marys and not enough Williams. We need more Williams in the world. And that comes from father's love. And when that father turns, listen, when that a father's going to love a daughter differently than the mother, but she needs that love. She's got to have that love. And in fact, if she doesn't get that kind of love, she will early on, in a promiscuous setting, go seek that approval and that love in the arms of young boys or young men. That's a fact. Father, loving your children, and children returning that love to your father, respecting your father, honoring your father, builds a great relationship. And you right now have no idea that by honoring your father, you are preparing a great future for your own life. The men you date, the women you date, the people you select in life, how you think, it's absolutely amazing. Our culture and our churches today need to be encouraging fathers to be dads with their kids. I'm all for this. I'm dead serious. If you need to buy a smaller home, drive a smaller car, I don't know what it is, but listen, if you're working 25 hours a day to pay that house bill, I think that's slavery. While your kid watches you go back and forth, never sees you, never spends time. We need dads, you know what? We need dads to stop that kind of stuff. That is a hamster wheel, and it'll destroy you. Start spending time with your family. Start spending time with your kids. It's absolutely essential. It is save your child in this godless culture. A father's position in the eyes of their child is to be a leader, an instructor, a priest, a defender, an encourager, a provider, a coach, a guide, a godlike figure. God's ordained that. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 13:24, he who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is careful to discipline him. Did you know that? Did you know that discipline your children is of God? This is something that is completely lost in our culture. If you love your, listen, I have never walked up to my neighbor's kid and spanked them. I won't do it. You want to know why? I don't care about his kid like I care about my kid. You know why you spank your kid? Because you don't want them to turn out to be a criminal, goofball, whack nut, crazy, weirdo. You don't sit there and say, man, I hope my kid screws up because I'm going to whack him. You don't do that. You don't want your kid to mess up. But when they mess up, in fact, you know that old saying, it's going to hurt me a lot more than it's going to hurt you. You think that's crazy until you become a parent. And the first time you've got to, oh, no, I read about this moment. Mom and dad, well, dad right now, we're talking about dads. You tell little Junior when he's messed up, why did you paint the cat like that? Why did you paint the cat? I told you not to paint the cat. Now here's how you, listen. I'm going to spank you for doing that. I'm going to go into your room in a moment. You go over there and you wait for me. And you send them down the room. Now listen, you're going to make your world a lot easier because you got to go all the way down the hallway. I don't care how small your house is. That's a long walk for a little kid. And he goes into his room and he's sitting there thinking, he's waiting for the second coming. I mean, he's waiting. And you come down the hallway, and if, by the way, you're all excited, maybe you're all upset, maybe you're all fired up, good, it gives you time to cool down and seek God. And then, dad, you go down the hallway and you say, now, Junior, do you know why you're going to get spanking right now? because I painted the cat. No, okay, next step. Your job's almost done because his heart is already broken. And the brokenness of their heart meters the level of the discipline. It's beautiful. It's the way God intended. Does not God work in your life that way if you belong to the Lord? Does he not give you a little bit of a spank when you're off the course and you're not listening? He'll send you to your room and he'll say, I'm gonna come down the hallway now and I'm gonna give you a spank. Do you know why? It's called confession. Do you know why you're gonna get a spank? Because I painted the cat. And when that heart's broken, your job's so much easier. I mean, you can just kind of go like this and they're brokenhearted and you give them a hug. And I'm going to suggest something right now. You don't do it too often. But there's times when that kid's broken enough. Dad, when they say, I shouldn't have never done it, I'm so sorry. Now, look, you can do this maybe once a year. You say, listen, you know what? Do you deserve a spanking? Yes. Well, here's what we're going to do. Do you know what grace is? No. Grace is what you're going to get right now. This is the meaning of grace. I should spank you, but I'm not going to spank you. You deserve to be spanked, but I'm not going to spank you. Get in the car. Why? Where are we going? Get in the car. We're going to go to Yogurtland, and I'm going to freak you out. That's grace. Now, listen. You say, what kind of a... That's rewarding bad behavior. I said once a year. And what you do is you wind up sending a message to your kid. Your kid, one time you do that, your kid will never forget the meaning of grace, ever. That's what God does to us. Well, you know, once we can't do it too much because we'll take him for granted. Proverbs 22:15 says, foolishness is bound up in the heart of a child. The rod of correction will drive it far from him. So we don't believe in spanking our kids. You're going to raise a little Charlie Manson. That kid's going to grow up to be an absolute problem. Matthew Henry, the great commentator of yesteryear, says, we are to come when our parents call us, go where they send us, do what they bid of us. What they refrain from us, they forbid. And this, as children, cheerfully and from a principle of love, receive, says Matthew Henry. What a beautiful way of putting it. A parent needs encouragement. Father, you need encouragement. You need instruction. Nobody's got this down perfectly. But love covers a multitude of sins. All of us fathers have messed up being a father. There's not a father in this place who has not messed up as being a dad. And God's grace covers. It's amazing. Why? How? Because in your field of view for that child sees you and you are something. It's amazing. So dad, listen, father, tread very lightly, prayerfully, when being a father. It's a very holy calling. It's powerful. Built into the calling is a tremendous influence. Secondly, the fifth commandment tells us that we don't honor our mothers. Honor your mother's care, a father's love, and a mother's care. Honoring God for his comfort, we honor our mother for hers. Mothers are comforters. In many ways, I see the mother as the comforter of the home. Not that the father isn't, it's just different. The mother is often the comforter, and that's a great thing. In fact, you know what's amazing about this to me? Even as Jesus was on the cross, Jesus was concerned about the welfare of his mom. Did you know that? In John chapter 19, verse 25, the Bible says, now there stood by the cross Jesus, his mother, and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple, that's John, whom he had loved standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. Now watch this. You might find it interesting. He's not saying, look at me. Jesus is asking or telling Mary, look at John. Isn't that interesting? Watch this. Then he said to the disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. Isn't that amazing? From the cross, Jesus is caring and loving and honoring his earthly mother. What a great example for us. The influence of a mother cannot be overstated. William Wallace wrote, "The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world." Abraham Lincoln quoted it later and made it very famous, of course. Because the time and the effect that a mother has is an awesome thing in shaping and molding a child's future. There seems to be a tendency. It's not an exact science, but when a baby is born, a baby, male or female, doesn't matter, seems to cling, and so should cling, predominantly to the mother, the source of comfort, the source of care, the source of food, nourishment. And by the way, you can't exactly confirm this, but it's pretty well understood that a child in the womb for all those, 9 months, learns the tone, the vibration, the muffled sound of its mother's voice. And so there's a natural tendency and a propensity for the child to be connected to the mother. And the dad, that's great, because the dad's got to go to work and plow the fields and blow stuff up or whatever he does. And he's got to go do his dad stuff. But at that point, the dad is very, very much, you take out the diapers, you bring in the food, I need a bottle. And the dad's like this. That's what you do. I mean, that's what you do. And if you have a young firstborn baby, it will pass. Listen, I want to encourage you right now. That time is going to go by. There's young couples here at this church. This church is making babies. That's why we had to build that other wing over there. You guys are definitely being fruitful and multiplying. But I see these parents walk in, and the mom and dad, they're like this. And I'll see it. They're usually right over here on Sunday morning. I say, "How you doing?" "Oh, fine." "You sleeping much?" "No." It's going to pass. I don't know what it is. For both our kids, I didn't like them much until they were about 9 months old. And when they hit 9 months old, I was like, "Okay, hey, this is going to work." It was tough. Lisa, we had Rebecca, and she didn't sleep for 9 months. She was sick all the time. It was horrible. And when we're just, what did we do this for? And we used to joke. We used to laugh because everything about the Bible is right on except this part. It passes. But there's nothing like a mother. And you're to honor your mother. An incredible job, a thankless job most of the time, a mother. A mother is called and gifted by God to be a mom. Nobody can take mom's place. Nobody can take a mother's place. Proverbs 31:28 says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed." Yes, she has a tremendous testimony. And her kids see her loving on them in all kinds of ways. Regarding the household, the mother, listen, God has ordained fathers to father and mothers to mother. That's called a family. And no political correctness and cultural shift is going to change the reality of it. We can massage and goof around with all these different words and phrases about what a family is, and it's all a big fat lie. The truth is, my friend, God says a family works this way. And our culture and our homes suffer the consequences for not living it God's way. And then so many people start living it without God that we have to justify our new definition of family, and that's not going to work. Titus chapter 2, verse 4 says, "Let the older women train the younger women to, number one, love their husbands and their children." That's what this church is supposed to be doing. You know that? Older women who have raised their kids need to be pouring into. There should be an older women's brigade of mothers, an army of mothers looking for young mothers to give them all the tips and all the latest things about how, "Hey, listen, don't worry, you're going through this right now. Let me tell you, this is what's good. And then you do this, and what about that belly button? And what about this thing? And what about when they're hold them higher up on your shoulder when you burp them. You'll never get a bubble out of there if you just hold them down here and burp. I mean, you got to know stuff. It's like, I wish I would have known that. I'm dead serious. How do you change a diaper like that? Watch this. Who knows how to do that? A woman has already done it all these years. They got it down. And it's encouraging. And you look into the eyes, that older woman looks into the eyes of that young mom who's terrified, and she's going to say, "Hey, you're doing a great job." And listen, then you can probably expect this next month. This is what's going to happen. There's a light at the end of the tunnel. We need to do that. You see, Pastor, you do it. I can't do it. The moms need to do it. And men need to get together with the young fathers the same way. Number three tonight, honoring the days of your life. Look how the verse moves along. Now it says that you are to honor your mom and dad, that your days may be long upon the land. You say, what is it? Is that a threat? No, it's not a threat. It's a reality. You want to live long? And it's not only talking about a length of life. It's talking about a quality and abundance of life. And this is the part where the rubber meets the road now. Responsible. Listen, being responsible to your God begins with being responsible to your parents. You want to have a blessed life, young person? Unto God, obey your parents in the Lord. You know what I mean by that? Paul said that in Ephesians, in the Lord. If your parents tell you to do something ungodly, don't do it. You do not do that. Lisa and I literally had a friend who, when she accepted the Lord, she went home and told her parents. She said, I just accepted Christ. And they said, well, what does that mean? She said, well, I don't know. But I'm following Jesus now. And a couple of days after she accepted Christ, she got thrown out of her house. By the way, this was 35 years ago. And the last time we saw her, she had never been invited back to her house. And at that point, it was about 20. She had been thrown out of that house for about 25 years. Why? Because she wouldn't get loaded with her parents anymore. Her parents taught her how to smoke pot. She got saved and wouldn't smoke pot. Her parents said, smoke pot or get out. She goes, I can't do this. I think she was young. Isn't that amazing? There's parents that are having their children view pornography. Insane. I believe that's child abuse, by the way. And if you disagree, I'd like to meet you out in the parking lot because that is evil. That's pure evil. That is pure evil. You messed up that kid for the rest of their life. They can't look at anyone the same after that. That's pure evil. I think you should be imprisoned. I think that is pure evil. And you expose that kid to instant emotional and mental child abuse. You should be arrested. Or just let our pastors meet you in the parking lot. Because we have to pick up the pieces of this stuff. It's terrible. You're to honor the days of your life. God has given you life, and it's to be worked out in a structure that God has engineered. It's very important that we do this. And this commandment promises a very special blessing. It's the only commandment that has with it a special blessing of promise that your life will be a blessing. And when does this occur? Listen, I'm serious. This may sound cute and funny, but it's the real deal. This is real theologically sound right here. How? When does this happen? As I grow up in my home, when does it kick in that my life will be long upon the earth? Literally, it begins in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, where the Bible says, for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife. Isn't that amazing?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a look at number 5 of the 10 Commandments, where we're told to honor our father and mother. It's a real close look at the benefits of keeping the family unit intact, as well as the consequences when we don't. There's more to come from this lesson of Pastor Jack, so be sure to join us on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, have you had a chance to visit realradioactive.org lately? Of course, you can hear past editions of Real Radio, but you can also subscribe to Words to the Wise. Now, Words to the Wise is Pastor Jack's devotional. You're going to love it. You can listen to it online. You can also receive them via email if you'd like. Just visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is 1-877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J., and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.